Let's take our Bibles together to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. We're continuing our study for the next few weeks on why we believe what we believe. This morning was why we believe in the church. And tonight, though almost a continuation of the theme, but not exactly, why we believe in identifying ourselves as independent Baptists. Somebody might say, well, that's not a very important thing. Well, if it is not a very important thing, we need to take the name off of the sign. And I'm not about to do that. So then we need to, why do we call ourselves Baptists? Why do we identify in that fashion? And the sad thing is that we've had a lot of people that were raised in a Baptist church, and then somewhere down the road, they left that church, and they thought that, you know, one church is just as good as the next, and they went to another type of church or type of assembly. And I would say something about that. I would say if that's the way people do, either they were hypocritical of being a part of what they said they were a part of, or they were a part of something they didn't understand. Or they just denied what they had always been brought up to believe. And, you know, it's not just good enough to say, well, we're Baptists, or it doesn't really matter. Some people say, well, it doesn't really matter. Why don't we just say we believe the Bible? Well, if you just identify yourself as believing the Bible, you know how many different cults identify themselves with believing the Bible? That's a very generic thing as well today. Somebody said, well, I just think we ought to call ourselves Christians, like the Bible speaks of in Acts chapter 11, that they were called Christians first and then. Why isn't Christian enough? Because Christian doesn't mean anything anymore. A Catholic would call himself a Christian. Matter of fact, anyone today would call himself a Christian as a designation of religion, such as, I am not a Muslim or a Hindu, therefore I am a Christian. And Christianity has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with a relationship with Jesus Christ and a life that comes out of your life that looks like His. But today, everybody's a Christian, no matter what shade they would look at if they come fall under the auspices of Christianity. So just calling yourself a Christian doesn't really identify yourself. A Mormon would call himself a Christian. He is not, but he would call himself one. A Jehovah's Witness would call himself a Christian. He's not a Christian, but he would call himself one. And so that terminology has just sort of blurred the lines of identification of who we are and what we are and what we believe. And so a lot of people that correct the Bible, have terrible heresies with the Bible, still would say that they believe the Bible. And yet, our designation that we identify ourselves with as Sweet Springs Baptist Church is a Baptist designation. It's also an independent Baptist designation. And there's a reason for that. And we want to see that tonight. I'm starting in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 10. The Apostle Paul writes in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I want to call your attention to that first phrase. He says in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. I think it's a very important thing for people to know what you believe. It's very important for people to fully know in your family, in your community, what your doctrine is and what your manner of life is. There ought to be an identification, a testimony of what you call yourself, that they understand what your doctrine is. And the sad thing is that most people, if you'd ask them to list the top seven doctrines that identify themselves, They couldn't even do that. Listen, that's why people don't understand what a Baptist is or what an independent Baptist is or whatever they are, because they don't even know what they believe. And that's a dangerous place for you to be. You ought to know what your doctrine is. We are, first of all, we are Baptists because of our doctrine. It's not a cliche. It's not a name. It identifies ourselves with a certain doctrine that is different from the doctrines of other religions and other peoples that would also say that they are Christian and that they are believing the Bible. And so it's an identification. And you need to know what those doctrines are. If you do not know what those doctrines are, then you are in danger of just flying away and being gobbled up by whatever. You know, most people, when they go to church, this is the determination they make when they go to church. They which church am I going to choose to go to? And they go to church and they say, well, that church was nice. You know, that is a dumb reason to go to a church. I mean, I would say the devil could probably be nice for an hour. Right? Niceness is not a basis for where you should go to church or what you believe. Now, that's starting to be the moniker of society. Well, if it's nice, it's good. No, that's not necessarily true. Now, I don't just believe in just being mean and ugly and hateful and all that. But most people, when they walk into church, that's why we try to be friendly. Amen. You know what the sad thing is? Most people that walk through our doors and that visit us, they don't know anything about our doctrine. But they will leave knowing whether we've been nice to them or not. It's strange sometimes what God has me to preach, and I don't even know, of course, I don't know if visitors show up. A week ago today, we had Church of Christ people here. I had no idea that they were here. They were visiting. Went to a church in Madison, Church of Christ family. Now, that's pretty odd, is it not? For a Church of Christ, and it was really two families, and looking for a church in that they would just come by and sit down in a Baptist church. That's a very strange thing. Do you know what I preached on for about 15 minutes last Sunday morning? Now, how you can't put that together if you stayed up all night. I preached on the fact that, you know, there's a movement around here, and they believe the water baptism washed away your sins. I had no idea they were in the building. We've had people that believed in just, we had people, remember me preaching this morning on people just thinking there's house churches? Had people drive away that came visit us this morning. Had that same kind of thought and mentality. You say, well, why does that happen? Because look, God's not just interested in somebody coming in and feeling good and being nice. God wants to get them doctrine. He wants to get truth into their head. Because it's the truth that sets you free. It's not just being nice. We do need to be nice to them. And I was nice to them, man. I mean, I've had some terrible, terrible conversation with Church of Christ. I was as nice to those people. I was nice to those people than I were you. Because I was trying to bend over backwards. Somebody said, do you know what you preached this morning in their Church of Christ? And boy, I really got nice after that. Yeah, amen. But listen, this is what I'm trying to say. Most people pick a church because, number one, the church is a nice church. It's a bad reason. Or they pick a church because the facilities are good. The building's pretty. They have a coffee shop. You know, they have yoga and aerobics for the, right? That, I'm talking about our modern world. I'm not talking about you. You crazy people here because you like the Bible, amen. You don't even listen to me preach, amen. You like church. You like the book. I'm talking about the average person. They don't know anything about doctrine. They want it to be nice and pretty, and they want to be welcoming. But it doesn't matter what the doctrine is. It doesn't. If the music sounds good, if I leave feeling good, well, then that's a good church. That has nothing to do with why we are in the church we are and what we identify. It's the doctrine. It's what we believe. And the Apostle Paul says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Our doctrine is what identifies us. And our doctrine, when you look at all the Christian things that fall under this thing of Christianity. You got about 21. You say, well, what are we going to have, a history lesson? No, we're not just going to have a history lesson this morning. But look, you know why Americans are one generation away from being communists and socialists? Because we have a generation that doesn't even know what an American is. They wouldn't know the Constitution from, you know, the Wizard of Id. They don't have any idea what all that is. They don't know what they believe. They don't know the founding principles of our nation. So if somebody wanted to come in and change how everything is in our nation, they are right candidates to do it. If it feels good, if it sounds good, because they don't know what they believe. And you need to know what you believe, or just like the devil can change a nation, the devil can change a culture, a family, a church, the spiritual and doctrinal things that make us who we are as Christians. Now, up there, that's about, I don't know, what's that, 21 different people that classify themselves as Christians. Now, and we're going to see from the Bible tonight why, but why do we identify ourselves, first of all, just as Baptists, okay? Let's just take the first thing. Scrap the independent part just for a minute. Why do we identify ourselves as Baptists? Three reasons, doctrinally, okay? Sets us apart from the rest of the world. Number one, we believe in the sole authority of the Bible. In other words, there's not a person or a committee or a synod or anybody else that determines our belief. It's not traditions of our church or whatever. It's not other documents. It's not other writings. It's not other books. We believe, number one, in the sole authority of the Bible. That's going to take several of these off the page, and I'll show you just a minute how many. The second reason that we are Baptist, the second doctrinal distinctive, I'll just give you three tonight. The second reason is because we believe that salvation is by grace through faith, period. It has nothing to do with work. You say, well, don't everybody believe that? No. You know, you look up there, and matter of fact, if you see a little number one up there beside those are all denominations that call themselves Christians that have some form of works connected with their plan of salvation. Okay? Now, the third one, and that includes the Church of Christ. The third Baptist distinctive, and the reason that we identify ourselves as Baptist is because we historically have been people that believe that baptism, that's where the Baptist moniker got put on us, we believe that baptism is only for believers. Only for believers. That means the baptism of a baby is unscriptural and will not be accepted. Now, immediately, that takes out all those up there with a two beside it, including our Presbyterian friends. See, some of you maybe not educated yourself on that. Our Methodist friends, that take them out. Our Congregationalist friends. These, the Reformed, the Dutch Reformed and other Reformed churches, they also baptize little children, little babies. The Nazarenes do as well. Of course, Episcopalians do, and Catholics and Orthodox. And so a majority of people baptize babies. Now, that's a wicked thing to do. It's a wicked thing to do because, number one, it tells these little children as they grow up that they're Christians because something their parents have done instead of because of something they believe. The Orthodox Church, the people that we ministered to over there in Romania and Greece, it was a ploy, you see, because if you baptize them as a baby, that's something that they could not choose, but was forced on them, so it identified themselves, and so as they're growing up, they think that they are Orthodox, because they were baptized. It was against their will, but they were baptized, so that's who they are, and they'll grow up thinking that they are a Christian, and they'll go to hell that way. Because baptism, and we'll see it from the Bible in just a second, is not for babies. It's only for believers. So you take those three things that I just said, the Word of God, or actually just take the first two, just take two of them. Take salvation by grace through faith, that's it. And the fact that babies should not ever be baptized, infants, and that's what you got left in all of Christianity. Now, You ought to be able to go from your Bible and show somebody. You say, well, I just didn't think it mattered. It matters. Look, we are identifying ourselves with a certain doctrine. And most of those others that were on that list, either they were Catholic or they came out of the Catholic Church during the Protestant Reformation. We're not Protestants. Matter of fact, Baptists have been persecuted by Protestants. And Protestants were those that came out of the Catholic Church there after Luther in the 1500s and all that business. And there were groups of people that never were a part of that for centuries. In the 4th century, that Catholic monstrosity began. And there were immediately groups that said, no, we're not going to have anything to do with that. The Donatists and the Paulicians and the Albigenses and the Waldensians. And you had all these groups that were never a part of the Catholic Church. They were not Protestants. And what happened with, like the Anabaptists in the 16th century, when people started to get converted, they said, well, it doesn't matter if you were a Lutheran or if you were an Anglican or whatever you were, you just got saved, so you got to be baptized because your baby baptism isn't any good. And so they started calling them Anabaptists. That means people that baptize people again. So that group is only thing that's left of people under the Christian umbrella that believe only in salvation by grace through faith and that identify themselves with believer's baptism and not for an infant. That's all you got left. Now, if you take those groups and the Quakers don't believe that the Bible is the sole authority, so you got to take them off the group because they believe that you can just follow your inner light, you see. That's what they used to call them. And then our other Pentecostal holiness friends and Assembly of God and Church of God friends that are different, they all have something else in common that we would have to separate ourselves from. They believe you can lose your salvation, and most of them believe in some heresy regarding the Holy Spirit. So if you take away losing your salvation and speaking in tongues, and that's what you got left. Out of three doctrines. Three, you know, you got people believe all kind of things, you know. Believe it's a man. We got people believe it's wrong for a man to have facial hair. I don't believe that, okay? But people believe everything. But there are some things that are so important that if you don't identify themselves with, your soul is in danger. And it undermines the foundation of who you are. And those three things, the Bible being the sole authority, that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, and that baptism is only for believers, leaves that on the board there. Now, our doctrine that we fully make known, when we call ourselves Baptists, you can turn the lights back on, bring that up, identifies ourselves with that form of doctrine. Now, you say, why, preacher, do we believe that babies aren't to be baptized? Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is what was one on your list about why we believe the King James Bible that's taken out of the eunuch's mouth here that shows the prerequisite for baptism. Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, in verse 35, and then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You say, preacher, I don't believe in baby baptism. Yeah, but you need to know why. You see, this is the whole purpose of these things. Why? Well, my preacher said, that ain't good enough. Why? Well, that's just the way my family and my church, that's not good enough. It's not good enough for me just to say, this is it. Because when you grow up one day, some of these young people grow up, they'll be faced with a decision on their own. And it needs to be their belief, and they need to know why. And most cults, you know, do play on Baptists that just don't know their Bible. Why is infant baptism? Why are we Baptists? We identify ourselves that. Why will we never baptize a baby? Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What qualification do I have to meet to get into that water and be baptized? 37. And Philip said, if. In other words, we just don't go around baptizing people. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. There's your immersion, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So the prerequisite for the baptism was that he had to believe with all of his heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. A baby can't do that. Now, the reason they invented this baby baptism up is because many people thought babies might go to hell, which is what a lot of these Calvinists believe anyway. Because listen, are babies born sinners? Say, are they? Well, then they said somehow we got to wash away their sins. You can dunk them till they shrivel up, and that's not going to take their sin away. You say, well, what about those babies? Look, the Bible, in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul talks about, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, the Apostle Paul says this, when I understood the commandment, when I understood that I was a sinner, that's when I became guilty, when I understood sin. Until a child understands sin, they are in a state of innocence. As the Bible said in the Old Testament, they couldn't discern between their right hand and their left. That there's no discernment between good and evil. So a child, a baby, though they are a sinner, they are safe because their sin is not imputed to them. There's no sin imputed to anybody when there is no law. And there is no law for somebody that can't understand it. That's true about a baby. That's true about an individual that doesn't have a mind that they can understand. So, but they invented this practice to say, oh, we got all these babies that are sinners. We've got to make them all Christians. The prerequisite is that they must believe. Also, look at Acts chapter 10. Another prerequisite. The Bible says in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here the Jews didn't even think Gentiles could be saved. And Peter starts preaching to them, and the Holy Ghost jumps in all of them, amen, because they believe the word of God. By the way, that's exactly what happens to anybody that'll believe the Lord Jesus Christ and believe him for salvation. The Holy Ghost comes in their body. Look what Peter says in verse 47. Can any man forbid water? Look at that. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. A prerequisite for you being baptized is the Holy Ghost has got to be in your body. And if he's not in your body, then you are to be forbidden baptism, because baptism is only for people that have believed on Christ and the Holy Ghost is in them. Now, preacher, you say, preacher, have you ever baptized somebody that the Holy Ghost wasn't in? I don't know, probably. But those are about as powerful of glasses as I have. I don't have spectacles that look down into the heart of somebody. But look, if you've never been born again, if the Holy Ghost isn't in your body, you have no business getting baptized by anybody, anywhere, anytime. If you're not saved, if you're not a believer, it's a prerequisite. And you're to be forbidden that ordinance of the church, which is not for salvation, but for identification, without the Holy Ghost. One more, look at Matthew chapter 28. Why is baptism not for babies? Why are we Baptists? Because we do not believe in infant baptism. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at verse 19, you know the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then look at it. Baptizing them, you see. Now, what comes before the baptizing? Teaching. Do you know we won't baptize anybody here at the church, not only that says that they're not saved, unless we have taught them what it means. You can't teach an infant what baptism means. There's no understanding that you can relate to their little feeble mind. There's no way they could understand that. So baby baptism is disallowed because of those things. Go to Acts 16. You say, well, why do churches believe that? I mean, Jesus wasn't baptized as a baby, was he? Was he not full grown? The people that John the Baptist baptized, were they not full grown? Yes, of course they were, because they walked down in the water confessing their sins. Baby can't walk down in the water confessing his sins. I'd like to see that one. It can't happen. In Acts chapter 16, we see the only thing that people try to use to justify the baptism of babies. You say, preacher, are we not supposed to let little children be saved and come to Jesus? Well, of course. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. But still, we've got to be careful, because we can't let a child think that they're saved and okay just because I think they're saved and okay. You understand? They have to know that. It's not something I declare to them. I never told any of my children that they're saved. Amen. They've got to know that. And if they don't know that, then they need to slow down. You know, I was the other way, you know. I didn't want to get baptized because I didn't know how to swim, and I thought the preacher was going to drown me. I mean, my pastor was Bobby Grubbs. You know, have you ever heard of who Bobby Grubbs is? Man, he was about three axe handles long, wide. I mean, he was a huge man. And here I'm a little boy, you know. And I'll watch him up there baptizing. It just looked like to me he was going. And I thought, man, he'll kill me if I go down there to get baptized. And so I was saved. I knew I was saved as a child. My mom and dad weren't around. After devotions, I asked all these questions about that rich man in hell. And yeah, I went to my room and I prayed as a little boy and said, oh, Lord, please save me. Come, you know, I prayed all that. Minute. But I wouldn't get baptized. I wouldn't tell anybody. And it got to bother me as a little kid. So I was going to school, and I told Mom, I said, Mom, I've been saved. You know, I'd probably say, yeah. Sure you have. When did that happen? But see, there's a lot of things you can't see in a child's heart and mind. You can't assume any of that. She said, okay. And then I started saying, oh, I got to be baptized. I didn't want to be baptized. But I kept saying, I got to be baptized because I'm saved. I know I have to be. But you see, she had to deal gently with me, just like we do with all of our children. We don't want them growing up thinking that they had a false profession, trusting in some false profession that wasn't real in their heart. Amen. Can God save a child? Yes, I was saved as a child. Amen. But there's a lot of children that don't understand that went through the motions because it was expected of them. They need to believe it. They need to have it in their heart. And so even as individuals, Baptists that believe in believers' baptism, we got to be careful how we deal with children. When we deal with them for salvation, a lot of times what I'll do is a little child will come up, you know, I don't know the child, don't know the background. The child will say, hey, I want to get saved. And so I'll talk to them a little while and try to go through the gospel with them. And then I'll say something like this. I'll say, would you like to do that now, or would you like to wait a little while? And if they say, well, I think I'll wait a little while, I don't know how serious they are. Now, maybe I lost some of you right there. I'm not, look, you know, if you can't talk a child into something, you're pretty weak-minded. Children just believe everything. If you told them, you know, there's green cheese on the moon or something like that, I remember we'd make up stuff and tell Bethany, and she'd believe everything. I mean, that was the most gullible child that ever walked the planet. She'd just accept everything you say. It wasn't something internalized in her own heart. She was just easily talked into stuff. We're not trying to talk people into Jesus. We're trying to have them convinced in their heart that they know they're a sinner, and they know that Christ died for them, and they want that. And so the Bible says the Holy Ghost got to be in them. The Bible says they need to be taught and understand the principle of it.
The Bible says they must believe prior. But why do these churches go this way, then, these religions? Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, look at it, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So these people say, well, she was not only baptized, but her household was baptized. And they begin to assume that there must have been infants in that household. Well, you can't assume that. They could have all been teenagers. As a matter of fact, look at the next story. The jailer gets saved in this same chapter. Verse 30, Acts 16, verse 30, and brought them out, saying, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Watch it. 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. You see that? So they're preaching the word of God to the jailer and to everybody in the jailer's house. Verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Somebody said, well, there must have been babies in there. No, look at verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, look at your Bible, believing in God with all his house. Everybody in that house believed on the Lord. That's why they were able to be baptized. They were all of age to make that choice for themselves. Look at Acts chapter 18. Same thing happens. These are the only verses that are ever used to try to justify an infant being baptized. Acts chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So here again is an instance of someone's whole house believing on the Lord. But they had to have been of age to do that. So, preacher, why do we identify ourselves, first of all, as Baptists? Those three reasons are enough. You say, why do you call yourself a Baptist? Because I want the whole world to know that we believe that the Bible is the sole authority. I want the whole world to know that I believe that salvation is by grace through faith without works. And I want the whole world to know that we would never baptize a baby. And that goes all the way back historically to the 16th century of people that held those beliefs. And then they begin calling them Baptists. And you say, well, I didn't know that. I thought Baptist was just a nice name and it was in the South. No, it identifies with doctrine. It identifies with doctrine. And then I hear this thing. Well, what about the non-denominational churches? Right? Go to 1 Corinthians 1. Because you know, the truth is, if you go to the rock or the stone or the bridge or Bible One or whatever you want to call it, you take all those non-denominational churches, and by what they identify themselves as, they identify themselves with nothing. And they say, well, you know, denominations aren't in the Bible. They're not in the New Testament. That's true. As we read 1 Corinthians 1 here, I'll go on record to say, listen, I'm not a Baptist writer. John the Baptist did not start the Baptist church. He baptized people to manifest Christ to Israel. All right, that's what the Bible says that baptism was for. He didn't start our church. You say, well, didn't Jesus start the church? Yes, he did start the church. Well, can we not go all the way back through the centuries and trace the Baptist church all the way back to Jesus and the apostles? You know, the Catholics say that they can do that, and the Church of Christ say that they can do that, and all these other groups say that they can do that. Don't we trace our church all the way back to Jesus Christ? We don't trace our church back to anything but what's in your lap. You understand what I just said? I can't take you to any church that looked exactly like ours in 1352, and I don't even care. You say, well, what if the person that baptized you and then that baptized them and that baptized them didn't go all the way back? I don't care. I have a Bible that tells me what to believe and who to believe and what Jesus said and what the apostle said. And if some people lost that understanding, it doesn't matter to me. I've got the truth. I don't have to have some unbroken apostolic line to Jesus. I got Jesus now. I don't have to trace anything. I trace it to the Bible. And everything is wrong that's not in the Bible. So no, you don't have to find a Baptist church in 400 A.D. But I guarantee you there were people in 400 A.D. that believed exactly what we believe. You know why? Because they had the Bible too. You understand what I'm saying? They may have called themselves by different name. You say, well, preacher, well, let's just read this. So why don't we just not call ourselves anything? Well, then you don't identify yourself with anything. 1 Corinthians 1. So here's the text they use for that. He says, verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith that I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And he goes on to say that Christ sent him not to baptize. And he says, look, these things, Jesus isn't divided, and you're breaking yourselves into divisions. There were not denominations in the first century. No, there were not. But because of heresy and doctrinal error, which goes back to our message on separation that I just preached, you said, preacher, why aren't you a Catholic? Because I had to separate from the Catholics. Because they didn't believe right. All those verses that tell me to separate from people that don't have the doctrine according that was delivered unto me, I got to separate from them. You said, preacher, why aren't you Lutheran? Because the Bible tells me to separate from people that don't follow the right doctrine. And people that baptize babies don't follow the right doctrine. So there had to be a separation that took place to identify myself to know, no, I'm not that way. I'm not like those people. And so the denominations broke out of necessity so that somebody doesn't confuse you with some heretical teaching that Jesus Christ wasn't God in the flesh. So they were a necessity. You know, the Mormons would like nothing else for us to move all denominational names and just put Christian on us. But I'm telling you, they've got another Jesus, and they've got another Bible, and they've got another Spirit, and they would love nothing better than to erase the denominational characteristics for everybody to think they're just like everybody else, you see. So denominations were not in the first century, but as people began believing heresy and error, there had to be a breaking away from that. And the non-denominational movement, again, doesn't tell me that you believe in anything. You know, the deer, the New Testament saints. You say whatever you want. It doesn't mean anything. When I say Baptist, immediately identify with at least those three things. You understand what I'm saying? You put something else on your name that doesn't identify with that, you're in danger in the religious world. You know, when people choose to, if I say I was in Truth of Consequences, New Mexico, and I need to find a church, and I looked up and I opened the phone book to find a church, and it said the Bridge Bible Church. How do I know whether I want to go there or not? I don't know what they believe. At least if the name Baptist is there, it identifies with certain doctrine. Now, that's important for you to know. But next, and I'm finished, why independent Baptist? Go back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He not only said, you knew my doctrine, but what's the second thing he said? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, and then he uses this phrase, manner of life. Manner of life. Our manner of life is different. I would say this, you know, all Baptists are not the same. You know, they're a primitive Baptist. How many of you heard of a primitive Baptist? How many have heard of a Reformed Baptist? Or Sovereign Grace Baptist? How many have heard of a regular Baptist? Ever heard of that? Old regular Baptist. These are people that have all types of different doctrines. How many have heard of free will Baptist? Have I already said that? Did I say that already? Good. Free will Baptists are sort of weird. They believe you can lose your salvation. Most Baptists haven't had that problem. But so you got all these different Baptists. So then Southern Baptist. Well, that's a Baptist that lives in the South. Well, it used to be that. But then something happened. What had to happen? Again, remember our message Wednesday night. Separation. We've got to identify ourselves with the Lord and not with other things that aren't true and aren't right. That doesn't just go for people. That goes for religious association. We've got to classify ourselves something than a free will Baptist because they believe you can lose your salvation. We're not going to be Reformed Baptists because they believe God picked and chose people to go to heaven and hell. We're not going to believe that. We need to identify ourselves something different from that. We need to identify ourselves something different, I would say this, and this is true, than a Southern Baptist. If not, why don't we just be Southern Baptists? There's got to be a reason why we're independent Baptists. Anybody know who the Southern Baptist Convention president is? J.D., is it Garrar? Is that how you say his name? Yeah, he said that we need to change the way we deal with homosexuals. This is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He said that we need to be kind and call transgender by the pronouns that they wish to be called by. Really? You see, there's always been an issue with the Southern Baptist having to do with the manner of life. We have a different manner of life. We don't just go along with the things and the ecumenical things that the Southern Baptist has done. We don't believe in taking our money and putting it into a convention whereby people that don't believe what we believe will be represented by the money that we put into play. We're independent Baptists and not Southern Baptists because we believe that every church is local and autonomous. There's no others that should come in and have anything to say about what we do as a church. I don't care what they're doing in Nashville. This is God's church. This is God's body in this place. And no president and no governor and no synod and no group and no committee and no headquarters has anything to do with what we do. They have no say. And so all these hierarchies of associations and organizations just lend itself to something that we're not, our manner of life. Our manner of life. Used to, and still, it's getting, the lines are getting blurred. You could tell an independent Baptist from a Southern Baptist.
Yes, sir.
My grandfather, years ago, he took our church out of the, I wasn't born yet, and Mom and Dad hadn't even, I don't guess they had married yet, took our church there out of the Southern Baptist Convention. And it was over the Bible, you see. Over the Bible, that there were schools that were Southern Baptists and money being sent with professors that did not believe in the deity of Christ and did not believe in the infallibility of the Word of God. So that had to be separated from. Now today, I mean, it's not just that. It's the music and it's the lifestyle and it's everything. I'm just telling you there's a reason that I'm an independent Baptist and I know why. It's not that that means more to me than being a Christian. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ. My allegiance is to the Bible. But I want to be identified with a certain doctrine and a certain way of life. I want the whole world to know who I am, you see, and what I believe and how I live. And today, that's people are getting farther and farther away like that. That doesn't even matter. It does matter that we have control of our own affairs. That we are independent. It does matter. It does matter that we don't identify with groups that do not believe the Bible. It does matter. You say, preacher, does that mean there's some independent Baptist churches? Are they all right? I'm not saying they're all right. But Paul the Apostle says, thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life. I want everybody to know what I believe and how I live. And I want to identify in a certain way. And I pray that as our young people grow up, that it won't just be, you know, you're a Baptist and it doesn't mean anything to them. Look, man, our forefathers died because they held to a certain doctrine. They were thrown in jail by Congregationalists, not just in Europe, but in America as Baptists. They were thrown in jail in Europe. They were killed in Europe and all places by Protestant denominations because of their holding on to their beliefs. And we live in a day where just nothing is important. Oh, it's a nice church. They smile good. No. What's the doctrine? What is the manner of life? Why do we identify? Why do we believe this way? I sure hope you know. I sure hope you have some down, bedrock-rooted principles in your life. Because things are changing. Don't let them change with you.